801. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, January 30th. I'm Patricia Naft. A local electrical utility is finding itself in a tight spot, and there doesn't seem to be a clean way out. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Delta Montrose Electrical Association is a co-op, but it's also a member of a bigger co-op, Tri-State Generation and Transmission. Tri-State is made up of 44 electrical co-ops across the West. DMEA gets all of their electricity from them. Bill Patterson is the DMEA's representative to Tri-State.
Under our current contract that we have with Tri-State, we have what's called an all-power provider. In other words, we are only to buy from Tri-State, but we are able to generate up to 5% of our total power needs using local resources. We have hydropower, and we have photovoltaic solar cells. Those are the two primary local resources we have available.
He says that the problem is that right now, DMEA is pretty much at that 5% cap. Recently, they went to Tri-State to see if they could change the contract so they could increase the local, greener power generation from 5 to 10%. The response wasn't very positive.
Well, basically, although it's not a done deal, the recommendation coming back from the committee is that they not increase the 5% local power generation.
Tri-State isn't doing this to be mean. They may be a nonprofit, but they still have to generate revenue.
You know, it's basic economics is that as we generate more power on our own, it erodes into the total power generation for Tri-State. So it would affect their income.
Patterson says that while it looks like Tri-State isn't going to budge on this, they can't just sit back and accept that.
The easiest thing would just be to sit back and say, well, we can't do anything. But we are working very hard to try and come up with a solution. You know, when we look at it from an economic development standpoint, however you want to look at it, the best thing we can do is provide reliable and cost-effective power to our local community. And we have the capability of hydropower is just tremendous in our area. We have run the South Canal here. That accounts for about 4% of our total power generation, and it saves DMEA about $1 million a year. And with the new technologies that are coming out, we've got to work this out.
None of their options look terribly great, though. Similar to a cell phone plan you don't like anymore, they have the option of buying out their contract. Patterson thinks a ballpark estimate would be around $300 million. Right now, he doesn't know what they're going to do, but he says they have to think of something. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A bill to require background checks for volunteers and employees of youth sports clubs failed to pass the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. Opponents said the measure had too many gaps in it. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
In Colorado, roughly 6 million children play in youth sports clubs, ranging from soccer and baseball to swimming and basketball. Supporters say these sports clubs attract sexual predators because of lax standards. Senate Bill 48 would have required any employee or volunteer who spends more than 5 days each month with the children to have a background check.
Offenders who were in the Catholic Church and in the Boy Scouts, those offenders are leaving those programs. And they're coming to youth sports. There's absolutely no doubt, and I see that myself. Because the Catholic Church, Boy Scouts, they had these incidences, even Penn State. They recognized their gaping holes, their lack of policies, their lack of background checks, so they implemented all this change.
Michelle Peterson is a child abuse investigator. She was one of nearly a dozen witnesses to testify in favor of the bill.
No one's requiring anything of these programs, and we have 44 million kids across this country playing in these sports.
Are background checks really effective, or are they just spot-checking the possibility and we end up with 20% possibility that we caught something?
That's Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthet. He and GOP members of the Judiciary Committee say the state shouldn't mandate the background checks, and the measure would give parents a false sense of security. Jeff Rubel is with a soccer club in Westminster. He also says the underlying assumptions in the bill are wrong.
I do not want to tolerate the concept that youth sports is a cesspool of bad people who are out to hurt your kids. That's not what's going on.
Currently, USA Hockey requires background checks for volunteers and coaches at its affiliate clubs. Colorado's Amateur Hockey Association says they've also included a lot of educational outreach around sexual abuse. For most other sports, it's up to individual clubs. The measure ultimately failed on a party line 3-2 vote. I'm Benja Berkland at the State Capitol.
And finally, radon is an odorless, tasteless, radioactive gas that occurs naturally in our environment. Long-term exposure to radon can cause lung cancer. That's why Colorado and the Environmental Protection Agency have declared January a call-to-action month for radon testing. KBNF's Laura Palmisano attended a radon seminar in Delta to find out more about the potentially harmful gas.
A back room at the Delta County Library is full. Nearly 50 people are here for a radon informational presentation.
It's colorless and odorless, so you can't see it, smell it, taste it.
That's a clip from a video produced by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. People at the presentation are watching it to learn about radon. It's a naturally occurring radioactive gas that's caused by the breakdown of uranium in soil.
All homes may have elevated levels of radon. Radon is in the soil, in all soils, really, but most prevalent in bedrock soils.
That's Ken Nordstrom, Director of Environmental Health for Delta County. His department put on the presentation at the library.
So when a house is built, radon can seep in through the crawl space or through cracks in the floor or into the house, causing elevated levels that can cause cancer.
Breathing in those elevated levels of radon over a long-term period is a health risk. Levels at 4 picocuries per liter of air or higher are considered unsafe. Long-term exposure to high levels of radon in the home or workplace can cause lung cancer. The EPA says each year about 21,000 Americans die from lung cancer caused by radon. Only smoking causes more lung cancer deaths. Health officials say the best way to protect yourself from the gas is by testing your home. And winter is the perfect time to do it, because when you test, you need to keep all of your doors and windows closed. People at the presentation were given free radon testing kits. Delta resident Walt Price says he came to learn about the gas and get a kit. Price has lung cancer.
I smoked for 50 years, so that's my fault. But I want to make sure my family don't get it.
Patricia Yoshida says she plans to test the radon levels in her home using the kit.
We're going to go home and try it out right away.
Nordstrom says the kits are for short-term use.
What it is pure charcoal that will absorb the radon gas on the charcoal canister. And then the canister is sent to a laboratory.
He says the results are sent to homeowners and the county so it can track radon levels in the area. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Stay tuned for the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.